down. Verse 10. Let's do verse 10. I grew up in a church, New Fellowship Baptist Church in Charleston, Tennessee. Was probably the formative years, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, something like that. Strict Baptist church. I'd been in church before that, but those were the fun years. That's when you come to church and drink Kool-Aid and get cookies and have the time of your life in church basements and such and what's not. My formative years were do's and don't do's. Amen? When I went to churches, don't do this, do that. Do this, don't do that. And I understand that, and that's good, but I believe God intended the church to be far more advanced than don't and do. Amen? I think that by the way I understand the teaching, the way I understand Paul's preaching, the way God works in the Gospels, I believe he wanted you to identify yourself as a sinner by his message, by his commandments. He wanted you to know that you were guilty, repent of those sins, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind and being filled by the Holy Spirit, and then being a new creature that was operating in that Holy Spirit, not to turn back into those things. Now, if you did, the process is the exact same. It's repentance. Amen? But I don't think he wanted the church to sit and meet on a regular basis and say, don't drink, don't smoke, don't have sex outside of marriage, don't do this, and then come back next week, and this is the things we're going to do. All right? We're going to dress this way. We're going to cut our hair this way. We're going to shave our faces this way. We're going to wear these kind of clothes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go home. I don't believe that's what the intent of the Scriptures are for. I believe the intent of the Scriptures are be filled with the Holy Spirit, sell out to God, find your gift, your calling, and your ability, reach as many people as you can with the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ before you pass away. Amen? And I believe if you do that, you'll live a fulfilled, full, abundant life that when God... Man, on the way over here, I was thinking, man, I don't feel like preaching. 2 seconds in. That way, when they lay you in your casket, when they pronounce death over you, your family can feel good and you can feel good and say, man, I lived a good life before Jesus. Amen? Because God promised us the day that we were birthed, we will pass away. But once you live a life sold out to Jesus, when that day comes, it will be sad, it will be grieving, there will be pain, but somewhere in that, somebody can stand by there and go, praise God, he loved Jesus. Praise God, she loved Jesus. We're sad right now, but she's rejoicing. We're sad right now, but he's rejoicing. We will see them again one short day away. Amen? That's what I'm hoping in. I'm going to kind of give that to you tonight, if I may. In verse 10 it says, and if, remember when I told you this morning, those words, those little words in there, ifs, those are examining words. When you read an if in these parts of the Scriptures, it's saying you need to look inward and see if this applies to you. And if it doesn't, repent and ask the Lord to be your Savior. That's what because you can't have Jesus without the Holy Spirit. So when these things are saying, if these things be, that is a self-examination time. So I've done enough explaining on that. And if Christ be in you, see that right there? If he's in you, the body is dead because of sin. I just said that a long way. I should have just read the Scripture and moved on. This body, from the moment you were born, has begun the process of dying. Believe that or not. Just don't take a bath for about 4 days. You'll know. Amen? That's a crude example, but it's an absolute good one. Amen? But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That means there is something on the inside of you that will live forever. Amen? If you are born again, that Spirit will live in heaven forever. And that thing is a non-stopper. Amen? It non-stop lives. That's where your hope comes from. That means no matter what, you're all right. Praise God. Verse 11. But if, see that right there? But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, wait a minute. I thought you said these bodies are dying. They are. But once the Holy Spirit comes in, he begins to give you a life that is an abundant, full life that's not about you. Good Lord. Man, if you ever, I'm being honest with you, there's a house full of you in here today that are born again. There's more people in here, I believe this, that are saved. Since you've been saved, your life means more than it used to when you were lost. Everything used to be about us. We used to worry and fear and anxious about, oh, what's going to happen? Praise God, we got Jesus. And Jesus says, I give you eternal life. Now share your life for other people. Give your life away. And when you do that, I'm being honest, if you hadn't experienced this, try it. The more you give your life away, the more you want to give it away, the bigger your life gets. Can I give you an example? I've seen this several times yesterday. And it keeps getting me every time. I don't know if they'll stop this practice soon, but it gets me every time. You ever go over a bridge and it's a memorial bridge for a captain or a corporal or a private or a reverend or a, have you ever done that? Has anybody ever noticed those? You go over the bridge, you say, Captain so-and-so. Do you know what that was? Do you know what? Everybody in here knows what that is. I'm just explaining it for the one person, me, that probably don't totally get it. That means somebody sacrificed their life and somebody in Congress passed a bill and said, we want to name this bridge after somebody who gave their life for everybody else's freedom, who sacrificed their whole life and their life was servanthood, and we want to remember that life because it was big. You never see a selfish person's name on a road or a bridge. Whew. Now, some of y'all are going to say, well, there's some other, but I'm just saying, I'm talking about people. When you look at it, you go, Corporal so-and-so, Captain so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. You know what happened? That person gave their whole life away, and at the end of it, they said, that was a treasured life. That wasn't a wasted life. That was a life that was worth something. At the end of your life, you might not have a bridge or a building or a library named after you, but wouldn't it be good for people to say he or she kept giving her life away like they had an abundance of it? And if you are in Christ Jesus, you do. You're just giving away what you have an abundance of. Abundance of life. Now, I told you I want to segue this. Let's go to John chapter 6. In verse 1, I love this message. If you have noticed, I've ever preached this before, put the date right beside it again and say, he did it again. Because I love this. Every time I get to this and understand it, there's some characters in this. John chapter 6, verse 1, I want you to see this. This is what I feel like when Jesus is around, God's around, or the Holy Spirit's around, he makes your flesh do opposite of what it should do. He calls out your gifts, he suppresses your flesh, and he makes you do the things that you should do in the operation of God. Does that make sense? Calls out your gift and suppresses your flesh. God, that's a prayer. I might write that one down for an everyday deal. God, bring forth my gift and suppress my flesh. Amen. That might be just a great old prayer for me now on. All right, from now on. Verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is at the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw the miracles which he had did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain and drew there and sat with his disciples. And the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and he saw a great company unto them, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? I love Philip. Let's get that real quick. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew that what he would do. That means he knew what Philip was going to do. He knew what he self was going to do. But watch this. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. Even Philip's gift is important here. You know what Philip's gift was? Rationalization. He looked at a situation. He said, Jesus, even if we had the money, which we don't, we couldn't feed everybody. Amen. Sometimes it just need, you need somebody in the room to tell you, hey, that ain't, I don't think that's possible. I think that is possible. Amen. I've got some rational men around me. Amen. Every once in a while they'll tell me something. I'm going, man, I look at them and go, I don't know if that's right. But you know what? They bear out. They've had skills. They've got talents. They've got abilities. And guess what? They've got the skill of rationale. And it's amazing. Amen. Philip, he knew what Philip would do. I love God. God don't mind your rationale, and he don't mind your experience, and he don't mind busting that either. Amen. Amen. That's why when you do have skill and you do have rationale and you've seen things and done that, that's why you still pray. That's why you still get along with God and say, God, it doesn't look like we're going to have enough. It doesn't look like we're going to be able to physically do it. But God, I want you to get in the mix because I know you are a way maker. I know you can take the things that look like they're impossible and do the impossible. He asked Philip because he knew he would give him an honest answer. God, I don't think it's possible. God, that's all God wanted to hear. Sometimes that's all, man, I'm about to lose my mind right here and preach. Sometimes that's all God really wants us to hear from us. We can't. Good. Get out of the way. Let me. Amen? We can't physically do anything else. We have reached our limitations. We have surpassed our knowledge. We have got to the point where, God, if it's going to happen, you'll have to do it. Good. Get out of the way. Move to the left or the right, and I will. Man, I'm going to hate to tell you this. I give y'all some world of experience right here. This has happened to me multiple times in my life. The moment the doctor, the person, the engineer, whoever walked in, this is it. You can't do no more, blah, blah. And it's almost within 24 hours, God's like, shh, shh, shh. And then the same people had to come back. We don't know why. We don't know how. But they're alive. Amen? I like to tell this story on my dad. It's one of the best stories I know. I mean, it just rattles me to my stepsister was dying. They gave her an 85% chance of dying. My dad was a prison minister. He had ministered in prisons his whole life up to that point, since he'd been saved. He got up. They pronounced her 85% chance she's not living. They were sitting down there at Memorial Hospital, and he got up, and he goes, Debbie said, where are you going? He was getting dressed. He goes, I'm going to the prison to preach Jesus. She said, if my daughter dies and you are not here, what am I going to do? He said, I don't know what you're going to do. He said, but when I got up this morning, God told me to go back to work. That's crazy. That's insanity. When they walked out of the doctor, literally told both of them, said, we can't do anything. Dad said, I love you. I'll be back this afternoon. I'm going to Nashville. Kissed her on the forehead, got in the car, and I guarantee you this wasn't one of them spiritual hallelujah moments with my stepmom. She was probably sitting in that waiting room going, ugh. These Shelton men are idiots. Right? But guess what happened shortly after that? She made a 180-degree turnaround, sitting up in her bed eating doggone Jell-O when the doctor walked in and said, isn't this the one that we were pronouncing dead? When Dad came back, they said, she's up eating Jell-O. He goes, I figured that was probably why God didn't want me sitting around here with you guys. Ain't that something? It ain't always easy. It's not always like, oh, well, this is going to, you got to do this, you got to do that. There's sometimes you just got to trust God when all the experts says you can't. Philip just gave him a straight-up answer. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. God, I love Andrew. Andrew's a connecting person. So you don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to be able to speak from the pulpit. Sometimes you just have to be able to get this person in front of that person. And sometimes you ain't even got to be good at that. You just got to be natural at it and be like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but it just seems like this person needs to be with that person. Amen? I've got a friend in my life right now by the name of Chris McDaniels. Man, he is a connector of people. I mean, he just knows how to, oh, well, you need to meet this guy and then that guy. Next thing you know, you're doing something. It's amazing. Have you ever met somebody, they got gifts and talents that you can't describe or you can't put your finger on? And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Golly, bum, I wish Andrew, I bet he begged. don't put that last part in there. I mean, just stop it right there. There's 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And cut it off. John, being that 15 to 16-year-old kid, was like, I'm going to put all the words that you said. But what are they amongst so many? Have you ever done that? You sound spiritual, then you go ahead and finish the sentence. But what are they among so many? But guess what? There it is again. You're just operating in his gifts, can't help himself, don't even believe in it, don't even think. Not for one second did he put it together. This man and this young boy's lunch are going to be used in some amazing way. It was just, it seems like that is what God, that's all God really wants from you. God don't want some miraculous thing sometimes. He just wants you to be like, oh, man, I feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this, and I don't know why, and I don't know how, and I don't know where it's going to work out, but I'm just going to do it. Most of the ministry you're going to get into is going to seem like an accident. I'll say it again. It's going to seem like an accident, seem like happenstance. Because what happens is when you lend yourself to God, you are always in the ministry. You're always looking for opportunity. There's never a day off. Every person that comes in your contact, everybody that's in your sphere is a possible ministry person or not. Amen? I wonder sometimes, I'm like, well, God, why didn't you give me something? Why didn't you ring the bell for that one right there? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with him? And it was, maybe it's just not ready. But then other people come in my sphere and I can't shut up about Jesus about it. I mean, I'm just hitting them from every angle. And then another person come and I can see people looking. Like, why is he not getting her? Why is he not getting him? And God's not over there going, hey, get that and get this one. Could you see the lad yet? Some of y'all are wondering. I've preached this a million times here, but what drives a kid to give away his lunch when everybody's hungry? That ain't natural. Find you a little knot-headed kid that's got something to eat and you're hungry. Mom and daddy's hungry. Kids or her brother and sister are hungry, and you got the only Snickers bar. Huh? Now, there'll be kids like this one who thinks that will feed the whole world, but there'll be some other knot-headed kids. This kid right here, this guy right here, I could see myself right then. I need to scarf this down quickly. When nobody's looking, I will be punching fish and loaves like it ain't nobody's business. Don't look at me. Some of y'all are the same way. Some of y'all are not, but that's okay. I'm being honest with myself. I would have been over there like, Kevin, what are you doing? Nothing. Boy, I'm starving like y'all. I could just get this 5th loaf down. Does anybody get water? That's what I'd have done. But this kid buys all nature. Is just breaking it out. Goes up. Hey, mister. Hey, Andrew. Yeah, Andrew, your name. What do you want, kid? I got lunch. There's only 5,000, not counting women and children. There's probably about 15,000 people, not 20,000 people there. Can you use this? I think if we got it to him, it might be able to help. That's all. Listen, that's not a do or a don't. That's just, hey, I got something that could minister to somebody, and I think we should put it in Jesus' hands. That's all we've been preaching out of Romans chapter 8 today, is if the Spirit of God pushes you and nudges you to do something, why don't you do it? Why do you have to sit around and hear, hey, don't drink, don't cuss, don't fight, don't fuss, don't hate, don't be bitter, don't gossip. Praise God, that's wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were just obedient to the Spirit of God? Wouldn't it be amazing if we were just obedient to the Spirit? Could you imagine what kind of worship services we had if we would just totally get obedient to the Spirit of God? What if we went out there and we just got totally obedient? We came in here. I wonder if God would just walk in amongst us and just, we'd just have a time. Somebody said, what kind of service did you have? Well, God was pleased with us, so He really blessed us good. Because ain't that what you do? When you're pleased with your kids, what do? Whoop them. If they do the things that, if they clean the room and take care of themselves and do all the stuff you ask them to do, what do you do to them? What if God didn't have to get on to us about anything anymore? What if we were like the church at Smyrna when we read about it? They just loved me, they were obedient, and I have nothing against them. What? Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, I feel like the church today, we're always having to be corrected. And it's almost like, well, tomorrow you'll have to give me the same whooping you gave me yesterday for the same thing I did yesterday. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to get in trouble for doing the right thing, not always the wrong thing. I want God to be happy with me and the devil to be upset with us. Do you think the devil really appreciated this kid offering his lunch? Do you think he appreciated Andrew for his connectability? Do you think Philip was rewarded for being honest with God and telling him that it's not possible? Amen? Do you think that the devil hates us being in unity and operating in our gifts, talents, and abilities? Or do you think he'd rather us be over here just doing whatever we feel like doing? Being in trouble with God instead of being in trouble with the devil. Because a lot of times we're just getting corrected by God and we think it's the devil. Oh, amen? Whew. That's a whole nother level of teaching right there. And Jesus said, watch this, verse 10. I love verse 10. It makes me so happy when I read it. And Jesus said, make them men sit down. Whew. Good God. He didn't even hesitate. Soon as he seen the boy's gift, soon as he seen the boy's talent, soon as he seen the boy's fish, soon as he seen their loaves, he didn't even try to explain what he was doing. Have everybody sit down in order. All the other Gospels, he said, all four Gospels, he had them set down in groups of 50 in order from front to back. Whew. Golly, man, y'all got to get this, man. Some of y'all that organized minds, I mean, people that do stuff in orders and rows that are like very scientific and very organized, praise God, this should just ring a bell with you. God says automatically he goes into God mode. Golly, what do you call that? He just starts organizing everybody. I mean, it's just round. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, planets, stars, systems, solar systems, everything, winds, autumn, spring, fall. He's like, have everybody sit down in 50s. We're going to start here. We'll go from the front to the back. Everybody, you grab this, you grab that, you do this. What? That's God. Engineering mind. Thank you. About time, Lord, kick in up there. An engineering mind. I'm a passion-driven mind. I'm a story mind. Some of y'all are so engineered mind. I mean, y'all are like, and it's good, because that's awesome, because God gave you that gift. But praise God, when you see God operating like you do, you should praise God too. Amen. You should say, I don't always get the joke. I don't always find the story. But praise God, that's complete order. That's what I would do. I don't like chaos. I like things being in perfect order. Whew. Can I get one engineer in here just to say praise God, hallelujah? There's like three or four of you in here. It'll register in a minute, and all of a sudden, the system will set down and go across the board. That's amazing to me. Because I think sometimes if I'm not careful, I'm on the other side of it because I'm a passion-driven. I love when God moves in a big way, explodes, wow, oh, man, look at that, hallelujah. But praise God, God is a systematic, fundamental God who everything's in order. He ain't never missed anything. Whew. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the A to the Z, and there is not one letter out of place. Boy, ain't that something. And God says, well, the devil goes, what about this? And he goes, I called it out 3,000 years ago as if it was today, and I will say it at the end of time like I knew it already. Man, that's, I'm not smart enough to talk like that. Verse 10, and Jesus says, make them sit down. Now there were much grass in the place, so the men sat down in the numbers about 5,000. So 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Ain't that amazing? What did he do? I started thinking about this the other day. He started breaking those loaves and fishes, so he broke the fish. Have y'all ever been around something like when they start making the meal, you think, I don't know if that's going to be enough. Mine's tacos, right? Like, I'm about to tell them myself, it don't matter. When I see a pack of hamburger meat, I always assume that's not enough. Amen? I mean, I look at it and I go, that's not going to be enough. I mean, it's like 2 feet by 2 feet, and there's only three of us, but I'm looking at it and I'm thinking that's not going to be enough. And I'm over there, you know, putting it in the pan, because I like to start the taco process. I do not like to finish the taco process. That's just about like anything else, right? At home. All right. So what I do is I start the process. And Melissa always comes through and goes, Who are we feeding? An army? I'm like, kinda. I just don't think there's enough there, right? The pan's like heaped over with hamburger meat, and it's on high. We cook everything on high, and all the pans are ruined because of me. All right, somebody's with me? All right, good. I'm just rehearsing what I've heard over the last 15, 20 years. But that's what I'm thinking, man, this ain't enough, right? But some miraculous thing happens, Scott, in the heating process, and when you start breaking it down, there is an immense amount of hamburger meat there. I mean, it's a lot. Because when it was whole, it looked like it wasn't enough. But once it got broken and broken and broken and broken and broken, there was more to it. Amen? See, when Jesus gets broken down and broken down and broken down and passed out and broken out, next thing you know, you think, man, a little Jesus ain't enough, but a little Jesus is a whole lot. Whoo, glory. Amen? Next thing you know, he's fed 5,000, not counting women and children. And praise God, he's fed everybody, 5,000, not counting women and children. He's fed everybody, and everybody's hungry, and there's 12 baskets left over. And he's sitting there going, wait a minute, why did you have some left over? Because guess what? Everywhere you go, I want you to carry the miracle with you that represents the cross. Ain't that amazing? Everywhere they went, that rest of that day or the next 2 days, they had to carry the miracle with them that represents the cross. What happened to us? We carry the miracle, the Holy Spirit in us, that represents the cross. That way when we run into a situation that seems overwhelming to us, we don't look at the situation. We look at the miracle that we have on board with us. We don't go, man, life's overwhelming. We go, my God is overwhelming. Because when we were starving and we were broken and we were without spiritually, Jesus broke himself and in order got into our lives, saved us, filled us with the Holy Spirit of God. So therefore, when we come upon an obstacle of life, a storm of life, and even the end of life, we can look inward to the gift then other than looking at that obstacle or that storm or that thing that is the end of us and say, it is not. It is not. I love this story of the 5,000. Because guess what? Jesus reminds his disciples over and over and over through the Gospels. Did I not feed the 5,000? Did I not even feed the 4,000? Were you not there? And it's my favorite, one of my favorite thoughts on that too is, guess what he did? He blessed it. He broke it. But he didn't hand it out. He didn't hand it out. You know who he let hand it out? The disciples, the apostles. You know what who he lets hand out the gospel? Us. The ones who partook of it. The same ones who had a part of it. So we use our gifts, our talents and abilities, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to hand out what we've already received. Somebody says, why are you giving that to me? Why are you helping me? Because he loved me first. And I accepted it. And I want to share it with you. Guys, we have received the Holy Spirit of God. Not to return to sin, not to go back to some lifestyle that we missed out on, but to follow Jesus with our whole heart and our whole mind. Amen? That's what I want to do. You know, and it's not complicated. It's not overwhelming stuff. Sometimes just like Andrew, walking the kid up. What do you think about this guy, Jesus? Amen? Let's all stand. Hope has been a blessing.